So as mentioned at the start of the service, if you come in since the service starts, then we give you a very warm welcome. Sitting around tables, because we're going to have some food, you're very welcome to stay for turkey baps and other goodies in a few moments' time. But Reuben is going to share a few thoughts with us before we do that. So I'm going to invite Reuben up. Let's give Reuben a welcome. Warm welcome. Reuben is our youth pastor. It's great to have him. And let's pray for Reuben as he comes and shares this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for wonderful truth about Christmas, Lord, and all the attention that it gets is you are worth it, Lord. You're worth all the attention, but we want to have the right focus. And I thank you year by year, even for those who follow you, you reveal new things to us. And we pray for Reuben as he shares now, we ask that you bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Phil. How amazing was that nativity play? Wasn't it great? That is a tough act to follow, I'm not going to lie. As Phil said, my name is Reuben. I'm the youth pastor here at Encounter Church. And so if we haven't met, part of the reason we haven't met is because I spend most of my time downstairs in the coffee lounge with the youth. And that's where the anointing is down there. But I'm very excited for the message that I'm about to share, because I believe that it's something that we all need to hear, especially as we enter into this Christmas period, which may be full of joy and laughter and love and mince pies and all the good stuff. But if we're being honest, it can be quite a difficult season, can't it? And it can be a difficult season for many reasons. Maybe some of you feel pressure. Maybe it's a pressure to kind of keep up with the Joneses. Maybe for you is a pressure to keep the peace with family politics. Maybe you're feeling the pressure to keep the peace over Christmas dinner, and that can feel more like a burden than a celebration. Or maybe for you this morning, it's not who's sat around the table, but who's absent. Wherever it may be, if you can relate to the challenges of Christmas, I think this message could be for you. So throughout December, we are going to be doing a series called A Promise Fulfilled. Now, the Bible, the Old Testament, is full of promises, and it all points to this coming Messiah, the Savior that would come and fulfill God's promises. And so we're going to be, over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at a prophecy that was made by a man named Isaiah. And I want to talk this morning about one title that Isaiah gives Jesus. So the verse that I'm about to read was written nearly 800 years before Jesus was born in a little stable in Bethlehem. And at the time, it was a very troubling season, okay? The Bible says it was a season of distress, where the Assyrians, they were taking the Israelites captive. And so Isaiah writes this prophecy to remind the Israelites to look ahead, keep looking forward. The Messiah, the Savior, he's coming, and he's going to establish his kingdom, where he rules and he reigns. And it was to give the Israelites hope, which they so desperately needed. So I want to look at that prophecy this morning, and I want to look at just one of the titles that Isaiah gives Jesus. And one of those titles is Wonderful Counselor. And that's what I want to look at this morning. That's what I want to talk about for the next 45 minutes. I'm joking. 10 minutes. Classic preacher jokes. Some of you are like, if I hear one more preacher make that joke. Wonderful Counselor. Now, the problem that we have is we've made light of the word wonderful. We say things are wonderful when they're not. It's much weightier than the way that we use it. We say things are wonderful when they're just pleasant. So Auntie Sheila buys you some socks for Christmas, and you're like, oh, thanks, Auntie Sheila, they're wonderful. How did you know? But in this text, the word wonderful means beyond our understanding. It causes us to be full of wonder, okay? And the Hebrew word, the original Hebrew word, is pele. If you're a football fan, that should be easy to remember, Pele. And is used multiple times in Scripture and is reserved for things that only God can do. Which is to say that Jesus isn't just pleasant, he's not just impressive, he is supernatural and he's divine. So when I read this verse, when you hear the word wonderful, it's not pleasant, it's not nice, it's supernatural, it's miraculous, it's beyond our understanding. So the verse is found, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We'll get it up on the screen. And it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Have you ever felt overwhelmed? I'm sure we've all felt overwhelmed. You know when life just gets a little bit too much? Maybe it's emotional, maybe it's different relationships, circumstances, wherever it may be, just the pressure, the weight of life just gets a little bit too heavy. And you don't know where to turn, you don't know how to handle it. And sometimes the worst part can be, you wonder if it's always going to feel this way. We've all felt that way. We've all felt overwhelmed by life at some point. Even our Bible heroes felt it. King David was writing in one of his Psalms when he's crying out to God. He says, "My heart is overwhelmed, God. Would you lead me to a rock that's higher than myself?" And so that's why we have counselors. If you're anything like me, then maybe you struggle to process things. And so your kind of knee-jerk reaction when problems occur is just to bury your head in the sand and you just ignore it. And if you ignore it, hopefully it will go away. And that doesn't always work. And so I want to say, I'm all for counseling, and that's where counseling helps. I've had counseling in my life. I believe that God often uses these professionals to help us. But this passage says that Jesus is our counselor. Now, this isn't saying that Jesus is just a good therapist, because he possesses God's miraculous wisdom and guidance. He's not just a counselor, he's a supernatural counselor, a wonderful counselor. And so I want to spend very quickly a few minutes giving a few reasons why Jesus is not just any counselor, he's a wonderful counselor. First reason is, Jesus doesn't cost £50 an hour. I'm glad that joke went well. Practicing that in the mirror. The first actual reason is because he knows you perfectly. Jesus knows you perfectly. You might be thinking, Reuben, there are 8 billion people in the world. How could Jesus possibly know me perfectly? Little old me. Well, Psalm 139, verse 1 to 2 says, "You've searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise, and you perceive my thoughts." I don't know about you, but my initial response to that is, well, that's a scary thought. You mean to tell me Jesus knows every thought that I've ever had? If you guys knew every thought that I've ever had, I'd be mortified and I'd move back to Wales. But if you think about it, it's actually reassuring, because you are fully known and yet still fully loved. And so when we come to Jesus, anxious, afraid, whatever it is that you're going through, he knows. He knows how you're wired. He knows your fears. And so his counsel doesn't start with guesswork. It starts with perfect understanding. Because we're emotional people, aren't we? God has given us emotions. He's given us emotions and feelings so that we can connect with him, so we can connect with each other, so we can experience more intimacy in our relationships. I personally, I'm a crier. Okay, I'm not ashamed to admit that. Don't watch a movie with me. I once cried watching an Adam Sandler film. So if you know who Adam Sandler is, or you watch one of his films, you'll know just how embarrassing that is. I blame my mother. But we're emotional. And sometimes we think that Jesus wouldn't understand. He can't relate to my emotions. Well, the next verse I want to read is in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. And it says, "For we do not have a priest, a high priest," that's Jesus. He's our great high priest, "who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet he didn't sin." You know, Jesus knows what it feels like to grieve. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before he was crucified, the Bible says that he was so overwhelmed with emotional pain that he said to his disciples, "My heart is overwhelmed with grief to the point of death." He knows what it feels like to mourn. He knows what it feels like to be lonely. Jesus knows what it feels like to be betrayed. And so whatever it is that you're going through, he's full of empathy and he sympathizes with you. And this is my last point, if the band want to come up. You might be thinking, well, Reuben, that's great. You know, Jesus knows me perfectly. He knows what I'm going through. He empathizes with me, great. But I still feel this way. And maybe, you know, as comforting as it is, you know, that Jesus sees you and weeps with you, maybe you're wondering, will I always feel this way? Well, the last verse I want to read is Isaiah 61, verse 1. It says, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives." Jesus is a wonderful counselor because he heals and he restores. I'm sure lots of you will be familiar with the story where Jesus and his disciples are in the boat. They spent a lot of time on boats. But the winds and the waves pick up and they start crashing against the boat. And so the disciples at this point, they're terrified. Okay, understandably, like, what if the boat breaks? What if we sink? I can't swim. And so they run to Jesus to ask him, like, what are we going to do? What's the plan? And much to their surprise, they find Jesus fast asleep on the boat. Now, I'm going to pause the story there. Youth, next time your parents have a go at you for sleeping through your alarm, I want you to point them to this story and remind them that Jesus slept through the storm and you're just trying to be more like Jesus. But they woke Jesus up and Jesus spoke to the elements, he spoke to the winds, the waves, and he told them to be still. And suddenly, the Bible says that there was complete peace. Now, for some of you, I think that Jesus wants to calm the storms that are surrounding you. But for others of you, I believe this morning that Jesus wants to calm the storm that's raging inside you. And he wants to replace it with peace, a perfect peace. And it's a peace that passes understanding, that allows you to sleep in the middle of a storm. So what does this mean for you? It means that next time you feel overwhelmed, you can invite Jesus into that moment. Maybe some of you need to do it this morning. You can invite Jesus into your pain, into your confusion, into your anger, your disappointment. And the Bible says we can cast our cares on him because he cares for us. And we can trust that he knows what's best and he's going to work it all out for our good. And so I don't know what it is you're going through this morning, but I want to remind you, Jesus isn't just a counselor. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a supernatural counselor who knows you and sees you and empathizes with you, and he wants to bring you healing. And as we behold him, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, those things that once felt so overwhelming will just go strangely dim. And so, Jesus, we just want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for the minutes that we share together. I thank you for your word that just gives us a deeper understanding of who you are. And Jesus, I thank you that you know us, that you see us, that you feel for us, your heart breaks with us, you weep with us. But I also thank you, Jesus, that you're a healer and you offer us restoration and healing. And whatever it is that we're going through, Jesus, I just pray that we'd invite you into that moment and we'd include you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.